powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Oh, it's an exciting one because I don't know what you guys were doing yesterday, but today is the first day of the draft. Last time I checked, Seahawks on the board with, what was it, Jake? 24 overall? Something like that? Wow, how exciting.
Yes, with the 24.
In the second round.
It's the first round,
right,
because
right.
I'm not sure, Curtis. There were a lot of people tweeting yesterday.
Yeah,
I don't know what about.
That?
Not sure what that was.
It was weird.
But the draft starts today.
It starts today in Seattle.
Exactly
right.
And we can finally see what the Seahawks are going to end up doing with that 24th pick. Do they trade back or do they take it? Now, we don't want to create confusion here. Yes, we knew that day one of the draft happened yesterday. A lot happening, a lot going on. And now we are going into day two, second and third rounds. And the Seahawks hold the 56th pick in the draft. But, you know, Stacy, look, we're a little late to the party here in Seattle. But I expect it to be a lot of fun.
I think we are fashionably late to the party. One of, I think, four teams that have not made a pick yet. But there is one happening today. Now, yes, the rest of the NFC West is also going to make a pick around the same, including the San Francisco 49ers and Arizona Cardinals, who are going to be on the board before Seattle, making their second pick before Seattle makes its first. Although Seattle on the board, one pick ahead of the LA Rams. So four new faces at least in the NFC West in just the second round of the NFL draft today, kicking off at 4 p.m. Wyman and Bob are going to take you through a lot of that. And then Jake, you are joining them along with Danny O'Neill for coverage of day two of the draft. That will be on 710sports.com. There's also going to be a video stream for all of that. So you guys, stay tuned. Do not go anywhere. Coverage with everything you need to know about these picks and the rest of the guys entering the division is coming your way in a matter of, what, hours? Not very far away. Finally, we're going to see what the Seahawks do. Now, we do this thing during the season, during the Seahawks season, called Bold Take Friday. Ahead of every game, sometimes we'll do it on a Wednesday for a Thursday night game, but essentially we'll do Bold Take Friday before a Sunday game where I ask you guys, including Jake, Curtis, and I, to make our bold takes, our bold predictions for what's going to happen during the game. There is no Seahawks game this Sunday, Jake, but there is. Are Seahawks draft picks happening? So we are doing Bold Take Friday Seahawks draft edition, and I want you guys to get your bold takes, your bold predictions ready.
Your draft bold predictions for the Seahawks.
So we're gonna do that in about 3 minutes here. So send those in right now. 710-710. We will jump into Bold Take Friday. 710-710. Get those in right now. Now, let's quickly cycle back. Story of the draft may have been Trey Lance taken by the 49ers at 3 overall. Everyone expecting them to take Mac Jones. Instead, it is the kid out of North Dakota State University. Been dominating the FCS. Of course, only played essentially one season as a redshirt freshman. Now at just 20 years old, becomes the quarterback of the future for the 49ers. Are you relieved it wasn't Justin Fields? We both agreed that would be the player we would like least like to see land here.
No, I think that Trey Lance was the guy that I least wanted to see in this position.
Because of his ceiling?
Because I think his ceiling is legit. And if you're moving up to the third overall pick because of Trey Lance, and that's what Kyle Shanahan revealed yesterday once they were able to kind of talk about Trey Lance, their pick, and their post-first-round presser, Trey Lance was the guy that they had in mind all along. And I think that when you have that conviction of who you want, the reason why you have that conviction in Trey Lance is not just because of his skill set physically, but everything that I heard from in terms of the draft community, the scouting community, Stacy, that I had talked to, everybody was blown away with his maturity at 20 years old and how well he interviewed throughout the draft process. And so I'll give you a reminder to everyone out there who questions Trey Lance's ability to start day one. How about RG3? Now, RG3 was a four-year prospect. RG3 was a guy who was a Heisman candidate and a Heisman winner. RG3 was incredibly talented. But RG3 came from an offense in Baylor, Stacy, that did nothing, absolutely nothing, to prepare quarterbacks for the draft. And if you remember back to when he was taken to Washington, they ran a unique, different style of offense his rookie year to get him on the field, to find a way to get his talents on the field. And I think that Kyle Shanahan and this crew are going to be able to do that, find a way to ease in the transition for Trey Lance, for him to be the starter day one. And now you have a really dynamic playmaking quarterback, a high ceiling guy, a quarterback with a roster when healthy that is a Super Bowl contender. If you're a Seahawks fan, the one thing that you can hope and hope that happens is that Trey Lance is going to have rookie moments, and he's going to have rookie moments often. And that holds them back a little bit this year. But I think Trey Lance was the right pick for them here.
All right. I am already seeing some bold takes come in. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get to it. It is Bold Take Friday, Seahawks Draft Edition.
It's time for Bold Take Friday.
Oh, some good ones coming in already. Let's start, first of all, Jake, I'm going to have you get us started here with yours, but the 425, bold prediction, Curtis will still lash out whenever he loses a contest.
Well, I mean, yeah, especially one as lopsided as that one was.
All right, send in your bold takes for the first day of the draft for the Seahawks, round two, second day of the draft for the NFL. Jake, what do you got?
What do I got? Oh, what do I got? Okay, the Seahawks, everybody, hey, team trade back. This is what the Seahawks do. But I'm going to give you a cut here that was pretty interesting from Pete Carroll in his press conference. Cut number one, talking about how their roster's pretty set up well.
We're not going into the draft with great needs, big spaces that we need to fill and all of that, because, you know, the work that the personnel department put together to get our guys in positions to situate the roster, so we're in a really good place. And we feel really good about that right now. So hopefully we'll get some help and all that. But whenever, if you can imagine, a draft pick right now, the number one pick right now, played for us last year. That's freaking great.
So if you are really feeling good about this roster, Stacey, and as I had pointed out, that this roster is already very well built and you have a limited amount of needs, starter quality needs. And so with that in mind, my bold take is that they stay pat at pick number 56. They do not trade down. And I'm going to give you three names that I think.
Wow, that's very specific.
That they will name out of these positions. If they select a receiver, it's going to be Dyami Brown out of the University of North Carolina. If it's a center or an offensive lineman, it's going to be Quinn Meinerts out of Wisconsin Whitewater. And if it's a corner, I think Ifeatu Melifonwu out of Syracuse is going to fall down to 56. So those are three names right there. They stay at pick 56, and those are three prospects that they will be selecting at that 56.
Now, Jake, how do you feel about snakes? Because Quinn Meinerts does have a pet snake.
As long as he keeps it at home and he doesn't try to show it off at the facility or to any of us, I'll be just fine.
Now, that is a decent bold take. I see that you had specific names of guys you think they would take. You're going against tradition. The Seahawks normally always trade back from somewhere. John Schneider loves more bites at the apple. And so that is, I'll give you that. That's a bold take. It's a bold take. Here's mine. I'm leaning into the Seahawks, right? Much like the Seahawks, I'm an agent of chaos. And because the Seahawks are an agent of chaos, I was going to say, hey, my bold take is they take only defensive players. But I actually think that's a pretty tame take. Some of their greatest needs are on defense. They could use an edge rusher. They can use an interior defensive lineman, like you've pointed out. Mm-hmm. They certainly could use a cornerback. I wouldn't be shocked or floored if they left the draft with only defensive picks, throw in a wide receiver maybe. But it wouldn't be a bad draft if that's what happened. So instead, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to say that the Seahawks, with their first pick, whether they trade back or not, I'm hands off with that one, with their first pick, Seahawks are taking one of these three positions: linebacker, safety, or running back.
Stacey, no.
Bold take Friday.
Are you kidding me?
That's right.
Did you just wake up
predicting?
I like to see the house
burn
down around me.
Let's go. Three running backs, three rounds. I'm about it.
Are you really going to put that evil on us here? Are you kidding me?
No.
Why?
Down for it.
Why? I mean,
don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby! Don't you put that on us!
Yes.
Not sorry about it.
Thank you. I couldn't have said it any better. Why, Stacey? Don't do that.
Let's be real. It's the Seattle Seahawks.
That's the one thing they shouldn't do in this draft.
Look, I can't control what John and Pete do. I can't control who they are. And sometimes they see guys and they think, that guy's a Seahawk. I don't care where he plays, and I don't care if he's going to play. He's a Seahawk. We need to get him on the field and practice at least. And sometimes they make those picks, and you just think, like, you know what, John? You're crazy, man. I can't control you.
Well, that is true. I mean, I laugh, and I'm very upset with this bold take that you just made, but it is something that the Seahawks have done in the past, and I guess you could never truly roll it out.
206, Stacey woke up today and chose violence. Every day, my friend, every day. Let's get to some of these bold takes, though. We have a couple minutes left here, Jake. So, another bold take Friday. Someone else going along with me saying Seahawks draft a linebacker, a safety, a tight end, and another running back because it's what they do. Yes, 360, you and I, one in the same on this one. We also have, now this one, Seahawks trade up to get the best cornerback from the 360. Seahawks trading up when they have just three picks right now. That is a bold take. Is there any single player, Jake, that would justify that to you?
No, because you would be having to give up capital of next year as well. You none of these picks that the Seahawks have, I think, would be validation to trade up for. You would have to throw in a 2022 draft pick to make that happen. I don't think that there's a player that's worth taking that on. But as I've said before, Elijah Moore right now is a player that I would love to have on the Seahawks roster. I just don't think he's going to make it to 56.
From the 253, let's go ahead and move this to four downs. 253, I don't have time to slip this into bold take, but it's a great question. Hey, guys, happy Friday. Happy Friday to you, 253. Did Trey Lance actually play against any stiff competition in college? Let's move that to four downs, Jake. Maybe have it as one of yours. So 253, hang tight. We're going to answer that question later. From the 360, a bold take. Seahawks draft a quarterback. Does it make sense? Maybe. Is it dramatic? Absolutely. And I'm here for it.
Yeah, not with their first pick. I could see them maybe in the seventh round, but I just really believe that at this point in time, they have other positional needs that they want to address. If you're in a win now mode and a win now mindset, you're not going to be, quote unquote, wasting any of those picks on developmental prospects for years down the road. And that's what taking a quarterback with only three picks, and maybe even if you get four heading into the next 2 days, I still don't think that is worth sacrificing a quarterback on. You can address that the following year.
Two most popular positions on the text line concerning bold takes, by the way, cornerback and offensive line. Yesterday you said not all offensive line positions right now are created equally for the Seahawks. What's your priority?
The priority for me, I think the priority goes into receiver and corner. Those are the two positions that I think really stand out to me as positions and talent-wise. You see what's left in the draft in day two, Stacey? They're in a really good position. The way that day one went for them, the run that ended up happening on defensive players rather than offensive linemen, receivers, there's a ton of talent that's going to be around here in day two from the second round and the third round of the draft. So you look at the receiver position and the cornerback spot, Stacey, I think there is so much talent left over for them to pick, and that those are two positions that I think that they really need to address, and they can find a day one starter that can contribute to them.
This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. He's Jake Heaps. I'm Stacey Ross. Curtis Rogers on the board right now. Curtis, you're also going to be doing some draft coverage with Jake tomorrow.
And
the
Taylor
boys
Jacobs,
are back in town,
yeah.
And Taylor Jacobs. I'm left out. I'm sad about it. But, I mean, I'll be in the control room yelling at you guys, pretending I'm there. That might be the most interesting day of Seahawks draft picks, although all of us keeping our eyes on 56 to see what happens there.
Jake,
you have to assume that if they stick, it's because they see a guy they love. And all jokes aside, although I do love bold takes, we are going to be talking about what we think the Seahawks' greatest needs are. Some potential. Jake has a wish list of guys that are still available. He'd love to see them target at 56. And so all of that coming your way. Before we get to any of it, though, it's time for three questions brought to you by Tila Mortgage.
It's time for three questions.
Can't wait for it.
Every day at 11:15, three burning questions for Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
That's the dumbest question you could ask. What?
Kind of lost in the shuffle yesterday. The Seahawks making a signing, bringing in former first-round bus pass rusher Robert Kimdiche. Is this something or nothing?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. This is another flyer on a first-round bust that they have done over the years, and we really haven't seen any fruit from that tree. So I am expecting nothing from this move. Hey, he's going to get an opportunity to compete in training camp, see what happens. But, you know, he's had, you know, a difficult past on and off the field. And we'll see if he's able to put anything worthwhile in terms of production and earn himself a spot. But I think that at the end of the day, Stacey, this is a nothing move.
The NFL is a league built for parity, and the better you are, the more creative you have to be with talent acquisition. Sometimes it's going to mean signing busts. The Seahawks have done that before. They've looked at Deion Jordan. They've taken a look at Barkevious Mingo. They've taken a look at DJ Fluker, who ended up actually working out and having a resurgence of his career, being one of the better run blockers in Seattle. I don't know that this is going to turn into something big, because what happens is when you take a shot on a bust, most of the time, he's a bust because he just genuinely didn't work out at this level for whatever reasons. Injuries, fit, whatever it is, it just doesn't work out. But it's usually always a low-risk situation, so I'm fine with it being nothing. And I agree with you.
Number two.
What was the best value pick made on night one?
The best value pick? Oh, my goodness. I think it's the Detroit Lions. They get in Penei Sewell at 7? Are you kidding me? And this is what I warned the Cincinnati Bengals about, Stacey. Do you not remember me saying that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to be tempted by Jamar Chase?
Anyone would be.
Of course. He's an incredible talent. And you repair him back with Joe Burrow. Can you recreate the magic that was there at LSU? But what good is it if the guy is flat on his back and he's getting hit constantly? You saw the issue. He didn't even make it through his rookie year because of the protection issues. Here you have an opportunity to really and truly upgrade your offensive line and find an anchor to your offensive line, a rare talent in Penei Sewell, and you pass it up. Now, do I think Jamar Chase can be a good player in this league? Yeah, but I also do think that you put yourself in a position to become the Detroit Lions of the Matthew Stafford years. So how good is that?
Right. Yeah, that round of the draft, those early
Bengals
picks, are kind of like when you're at the buffet and it's the dessert section and you want every single thing, but you know it'll make you sick if you have everything, so you have to choose. Even though you want the creme brulee, even though you want the cupcake, you're like, look, I get three picks before I start feeling sick, so I got to choose wisely. That was basically the Bengals. They're like, Chase can be a franchise-altering wide receiver, but we already made a franchise pick with our quarterback, and we should probably invest in protecting him. You can take the Kansas City route, which was this offseason throwing millions and millions and millions of dollars at the problem. Problem is, all those free agents are already gone. All the Joe Toonies, the Austin Blythes, all those guys are gone.
Right.
Kansas City took them. They're not there anymore.
They wouldn't have spent that money anyway. So you know what this is more like, Stacey? This is like dinner before dessert.
Oh,
you can't have dessert before dinner.
Hypothetically, you're eating both. Does it matter what order you go
in? Yes, it does. Okay. And in my household with my two boys, we have to talk about it all the time. No, you can't have dessert. You can't have candy. You can't have whatever's for dessert before you eat your dinner. You got to eat your dinner, Stacey, and that's what Penei Sewell was. Your dinner, good quality nutrients.
I think that as far as best value, I'm going Mac Jones at 15 for the Patriots. I don't think anyone expected, with the exception of maybe Trey Lance because of inexperience, sky-high ceiling, but inexperience, one season essentially. I don't think anyone expected those quarterbacks to fall to 15, which is why the Patriots were kind of mocked as potentially trading up to get someone, and it's why the 49ers did trade up, because they wanted a shot at whoever was going to be available. They wanted their pick of the top three guys left on the board. The fact that Mac Jones fell from 3 to 15, I don't think he would have been the right fit for San Francisco at 3, considering what they gave up. When you didn't have to move up at all and you're the Patriots, that's a high-value pick, I think.
That's a pretty good situation
all
for
right.
you.
Number three.
Mariners getting the 1-0 win yesterday, but not before another big name gets placed on the injury list. That'd be Marco Gonzalez. So with some serious rotation depth issues, there was a guy I saw hit the free agent market yesterday that has a history here in Seattle. So would you be down for a reunion with free agent Wade LeBlanc?
Oh, boy. I mean, this is where we're at right now.
Not a sexy name by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, first of all, it's French, so it actually is.
LeBlanc.
Oui, LeBlanc. Yeah.
It's not sexy when you, like, it, that's...
Yeah, blanc.
No, it's no. very
telling
abrupt.
Me that's not sexy?
No, it's not. It's...
Oui, les blancs.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Stop yes, it. Absolutely. What other options do you have except for
yeah,
continuing
I mean,
to prod into your
this,
bullpen?
At this point, sure. Yeah, I'll take anybody at this point, but it's definitely not a great position to be in if you're the Mariners. Don't want to see this happen to Marco Gonzalez, your ace as of right now. And but in the meantime, how about Kikuchi? How about that performance?
Oh, man.
That was incredible.
I was real nervous. Raise your hand if you were also nervous that Kikuchi would somehow be credited with a loss on,
yes.
like, potentially, because he allowed, was it a walk that he allowed when they took him out? There would have been one runner that he would have had an earned run for, right?
He allowed the double to
yes.
Carlos Correa.
Yes, so that would have been, okay. I was nervous. Maybe then it wouldn't have gone to him. But either way, one run was not enough to make me feel confident against that Houston's lineup. And I am so glad that it worked out. A great catch by Taylor Trammell to end that game. And a phenomenal performance by Kikuchi, who, by the way, made like one of the better defensive plays, fielding plays I've seen from a pitcher this year. And it's not even one of the best things he did that day.
Yeah, he had a great outing. But yeah, where the Mariners are at in terms of their starting pitching, it's a tough spot, and hopefully you can get better here real soon.
Curtis, where are you on LeBlanc?
Sure. Why not take a flyer on him? You're down to three starting pitchers
right.
in your six-man
rotation.
That's a problem.
Beggars can't be choosers.
You know what? Mike Salk has been covering LeBlanc for a really long time, so let's ask him that question. And, of course, we are going to focus on the NFL draft. Seahawks on the board for the first time. What does Mike think they should do? That's coming your way next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Mike Salk joining us now, brought to you by Jafco Plumbing and Sewer. Mike, did you watch the full draft yesterday?
Watched quite a bit, listened to a lot on 710, watched the live stream. Yeah, there was a lot going on yesterday.
Okay, what was your favorite story? My story of the night was not that different from anyone else's, which was it was just Trey Lance to San Francisco.
Well, it's funny. Not only, you know, did I get to see that, but I'm in the Bay Area this week, and so I was driving around a little bit afterwards and actually listened to one of the local sports stations for a bit as they had Trey Lance on. And just the level of excitement down here is pretty extreme. I mean, I think they're almost relieved that their team didn't draft Mac Jones, which I think is what everyone here was worried about. So I think the Trey Lance pick probably has them a whole lot more excited. You know, I'll tell you, if there was anywhere I would want to be today, it would be Chicago. This
yeah.
is the best draft already the Bears have had in as long as I've been alive. I mean, it's crazy when you think, and I have some buddies from Chicago, and every once in a while, my friend John will run through all of the Bears quarterbacks they've had since Jim McMahon, and even Jim McMahon wasn't very good. I mean, legitimately, you've got to go back to the 50s to the retirement of Sid Luckman to come up with a Bears franchise quarterback, and for them to have Justin Fields sitting there available for them at number 15, shocking. I'm sorry, it was what number?
11.
It wasn't 15,
11.
But 11, I'm sorry. At number 11, it was Mac Jones who went at 15. But that's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. They finally stumbled into what I think will be their franchise quarterback. Brock and I were talking earlier in the week, and with a legitimate argument that's what the Jets should have done at number 2
mm-hmm.
is take Justin Fields, the guy that I think would have been ready to step into the spotlight in New York City, having seen it and been under it at Ohio State. I know Columbus isn't quite New York City, but the amount of eyeballs that are on Ohio State, he's athletic, he can throw, he's accurate. There's so many things I like about him. And I think he's going to make Chicago significantly better in the very near future.
I do, too. It was awesome to see the shots of fans at the White Sox game who were celebrating middle of the game, started screaming, checking their phones, because no one was expecting them originally at 20 to be able to get a quarterback at all. So a pretty awesome moment for them. I do also agree with you that Fields, I think, is the second best quarterback that was in that class. And I know Jake's a huge Wilson fan, and there's certainly an argument to be made, but I was really high on Justin Fields. That said, I think there's a separate conversation to have about landing spot and how much that impacts how much you succeed. Trey Lance going to 3, you could argue that even a lesser talented quarterback could have had a better rookie season in that system, in that offense, versus Fields going to Chicago, where they are in some big trouble.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for that, Stacey. You're right. But a quarterback just has the ability, usually, to overcome a lot of what's around him. So I don't know. I guess I have hope there for Justin Fields. For Trey Lance, you know, of all the fits in San Francisco, the guy that would have scared me the most as a Seahawks fan coming to San Francisco, and I don't know that he's the better quarterback, is Zach Wilson because of the freaky throws. Because if you look at what Kyle Shanahan's asking his guy to do, it's hand the ball off a lot, have a great running attack. You don't need to make a million throws a game, but you might need to make a couple of freaky ones, and that's what Zach Wilson can do. I'm glad he doesn't end up in San Francisco. I don't know what to make of Trey Lance. I mean, I don't. He's been playing against, you know, practically high school level competition. He's got accuracy issues clearly, and yet, you know, the last couple of guys that have come out of FCS schools, while they've struggled at times, have certainly won a bunch of games. And you know, I'm not sold on what's going on in Buffalo even still, but it's hard to ignore, you know, the amount of success that they've had. So. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see whether Trey Lance has it. He's obviously, you mentioned it, entering a good system where he has an opportunity to sit and wait, potentially. He's got a coach who knows what he's doing, and he's got a roster full of legitimate NFL players.
Yeah, Salk, that's the one thing, as I said about Trey Lance, is I think the talent and Shanahan's ability to get him on the field and be productive in year one, I think people are underselling that a little bit. I think he's going to find a way to get it done. If he could do it with RG3, he could do it with Trey Lance. Now,
well, but here's all true. But also, Trey Lance could bust. I mean, tell me you weren't nervous yesterday thinking that Aaron Rodgers was going to go to the Niners.
Oh, and that's what I was going to get to next, Salk. That's exactly what I thought. My stomach sunk. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. My head was spinning. Was this all along? They knew exactly that this was going to happen, and that's why they traded up for number three so that they could have that, you know, beautiful trade piece to give to Aaron Rodgers. Now, Salk, I couldn't wait to ask you about this because, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he's our guy. You know, we've loved Aaron Rodgers and his attitude and his comments over the years. But how about the hypocrisy of Aaron Rodgers talking about Russell Wilson's situation and then dropping this bomb just before the draft?
Well, of course. Here's the thing. I'm of two minds when it comes to Rodgers, who I can't stand. I mean, I don't like him at all. I don't like the way he carries himself. I continue to harp on this, and I don't care. He quit on his team in the 2019 NFC Championship game.
I fully agree with you.
Quarter.
Fully agree.
And I know everyone rips Cam Newton still for the way my leg was and the way he didn't jump on the fumble in the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers did as much or worse in that NFC Championship game, and he did it a whole lot earlier in the game. He decided in the first quarter, yeah, I'm good. I'm not going after that fumble. We're done here. And never really has taken any grief for it the way Cam Newton did for the Super Bowl. Now, slightly smaller stage, but only slightly. All that being said, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, and I'm legitimately one of, if not the best quarterback in the league, and I think that's a fair statement whether I like him or not, and last year my team decides to draft my replacement while I'm still technically in my prime, instead of drafting somebody that could help me win, I'm out. I'm out. I don't care what else you want to do. You draft that guy and trade up for him, by the way, completely screwing up the Seahawks draft last year. I'm out. You can tell me whatever you want. You decided you cared more about my replacement than you did about my career at the moment and winning games. So I'll play this game for a little while, but eventually you're going to have to deal me because I can't keep playing for you.
Right, and I think that's the fascinating aspect about this. And Saul, look, Green Bay, they already addressed the situation last night. Their GM said, we're not trading Aaron Rodgers. We have no interest in trading Aaron Rodgers. So do you
feel trading Aaron Rodgers.
You feel like at the end of the day, they are going to be trading Aaron Rodgers in this situation?
Have to. They have to trade Aaron Rodgers. Can't bring him back. You have to trade him. Russell Wilson didn't ask for a trade. Russell Wilson, you know, had his people sort of mentioned places he'd go if he were to ask for a trade.
Correct.
And as much as that was mealy-mouthed, at least he gave himself the opening to come back. Rodgers didn't do that. He's saying, I want out. I'm not going to play here anymore. Sorry. So unless they're going to trade with Jordan Love, which I don't think they're going to do, they're going to have to trade Aaron Rodgers, or else they're going to let him retire and not get anything back for him?
Yeah.
They blew this, man. They blew this. They needed to trade him before this became public.
Yep.
Because now if I'm another team, I'm like, well, if I want to trade for you. Well, where else are you going to trade? Are you going to cut him eventually? Then I'll just pick him up.
You don't think
it's a complete mess.
You don't think this is, once again, though, Aaron Rodgers just basically putting public pressure on the front office and the team to continue to add offensive weapons? Because there are financial, it's like a de-incentivized for a trade for both Rodgers and the team.
Yeah, it's too late, though. I mean, like, if that was the case, if that was all he wanted to do is put pressure on him, you could have put that out publicly weeks, months ago. I mean, you don't need to do it the day of the NFL draft. I think it's too late. I don't know that he could continue to play. I mean, if he's serious, and I think he might be, yeah, good. I don't need to play. Aaron Rodgers can walk away from this if he wants to. He's made a gazillion dollars. You know, Shailene Woodley makes enough money. Like, they're fine. He doesn't need the money. He can afford to stand on principle. And eventually, if you're the Packers, like, you're going to have to, you know, this Brett Favre. They eventually let him go to Minnesota, of all places.
Yeah.
Like, once somebody decides they're done, they're done.
Yeah, and I just can't believe that they would mess this up to this degree when this guy's coming off of an MVP season. And
I can. I can believe it. You know why? They don't have an owner. There's nobody to set the culture there. Now, they've been lucky, and they've been contenders every year for almost the last 25 because they've had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks back-to-back.
Right, but, and they had Ted Thompson as a GM.
Yeah, that helps. But you don't have an owner. You don't have anybody to set the culture. You don't have anybody to truly make those decisions, and I think that ultimately does affect them.
Yeah, no, it's certainly standing out because this GM is certainly not Ted Thompson right now, and I think he stepped in it big time. I agree with you. I just can't believe that they put themselves in this situation.
He is Mike Salk, joins us every weekday at 11:30. Mike, have a good weekend.
All right, guys, you too. Enjoy.
All right. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, I think he is the master of throwing stones from a glass house. Coming your way next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
This hour of Jake and Stacey is brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. Now, the first day of the draft was already filled with stories. What were the 49ers going to do at number three? Obviously, everyone knew what Trevor Lawrence was going to be doing. They knew he'd end up in Jacksonville, but there were still plenty of things to settle for 32 picks on day one of the draft. Plenty of storylines. One storyline, unrelated to much of anything with the draft, with the exception of a team maybe using a pick to trade for him, was Aaron Rodgers wanting out of Green Bay, being unhappy with pretty much everyone in that Packers front office. That story, just hours leading into the draft, started dominating the conversation. Here's a little bit of background. Ian Rapoport of NFL Network said that over the last month, Aaron Rodgers and his agent, Dave Dunn, flew out to Green Bay for several days of meetings to work through a situation. That situation of being unhappy that had stemmed from even before the year prior, but most certainly the year prior is when it became more public, when the team took Jordan Love and looked to be ready to move on from him. Love ended up sitting throughout the season. Aaron Rodgers is MVP, a couple plays away from going to a Super Bowl. I digress. Here we are. Rodgers refused a restructure. He didn't want a restructure. He wanted a new extension. Teams called then, including reportedly San Francisco, knowing that Rodgers wasn't happy. Green Bay rebuffed them. They offered him an extension, but there was no deal. So now there is an impasse of the two parties. Does Aaron Rodgers hold out? Does he demand a trade? What happens if he's not traded? Because, by the way, and I'll get to this in four down territory, there is a pretty notable cap hit for the team should they decide to trade him. He's still got 3 years on that deal he's on right now.
Right.
They look to be potentially ready to move on. And even without Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, 37 years old. Now, he could play into his 40s like Tom Brady. Is he going to be effective into his 40s like Tom Brady? Tom Brady's famous and the best ever to do it because that's so hard to do. So there's a bit of an interesting kind of butting of heads between these two parties where last year's MVP may very well be on his way out, Jake, but that's not the only thing that makes this interesting.
Well, I mean, Rodgers dropped an absolute bomb before the draft. I mean, this piece of news that happened, it sent a shockwave through the NFL, and the reason why is because draft day, anything can happen. When you sit here and say you want to be traded and you no longer want to play for the team before the draft, that's why Adam Schefter for, you know, a month said, hey, I'm not going to rule anything out with Russell Wilson until the draft is over, until the first round is over, because lots of crazy deals can get done during that time. And immediately, the speculation spread like wildfire, of course. And my stomach dropped, and I instantly thought that this meant for sure the 49ers were going to land him. But it turns out that the Green Bay Packers have zero interest. And here in cut number four, you know, Packers GM saying, look, it ain't happening.
Is there any scenario that you can see trading Aaron Rodgers this offseason?
No, Ryan, I appreciate the question, but no, we're not going to trade Aaron Rodgers.
Now, he could say that all he wants, and they have a lot of the leverage here. And as you said, money-wise, it would be not to their best interest to not have Aaron Rodgers be their starting quarterback and to end up trading him. It would be pretty crazy from a financial standpoint, but I think the Green Bay Packers have stepped in it a little bit in terms of the way that they have tried to manage this relationship. And Aaron Rodgers is extremely difficult to police. He's extremely difficult to get along with. I mean, this isn't the first time that Aaron Rodgers has publicly expressed frustration or disappointment. I mean, he got Mike McCarthy fired. I mean, so this has been ongoing for about 5 years now with his, you know, legitimate frustration with the organization as itself. But I think that what is happening here with Aaron Rodgers is that when he goes so far, Stacey, to not only express that to the organization, Adam Schefter gets it, tweets it out, but that Aaron Rodgers is also telling teammates. He's telling teammates that he's not going to return. That's another level of that conversation. And I think that Aaron Rodgers is at this point in stage of time in his career where he can put his foot down a little bit and he can not show up and take fines or take, you know, whatever repercussions is from that and not be generally affected by it. So I think that he has a lot of stay power in terms of forcing their hand a little bit if this indeed is what he wants to have happen.
Now, I think that what you could argue, and this is kind of an argument I'm leaning toward, is that Aaron Rodgers is once again grandstanding, once again using his favor in the opinion of Green Bay fans and just his power as an MVP, as a longstanding top quarterback in the league, to pressure the team into making a pick that surrounds him with talent. They didn't end up doing that. This story broke hours before the draft. The Packers front office already must have had their mind made up because they ended up taking Georgia quarterback Eric Stokes. Now, here's the thing. They need defensive help. They needed cornerback help. How many times did Kevin King's name pop up in conversation? By the way, they brought him back, so it's not like he's gone, but cornerback was a need for them last year. They addressed that need. And Dan Graziano, cut number six, says it's crazy to think the Packers haven't surrounded Rodgers with talent.
All anybody talks about is the same stuff. Well, they haven't maximized Aaron Rodgers. Well, they haven't given him enough help. The best offensive line in the league, pass blocking and run blocking last year, Devontae Adams. I don't care if they're not taking wide receivers in the first round. If you can get Devontae Adams and Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb in the second round, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't like it, they're fine. He can have his hurt feelings. He can go host Jeopardy. I don't think it's going to bother anybody. But the fact of the matter is the Packers have not done wrong by Aaron Rodgers, period. And the groupthink that continues to insist that they have, it's just too much. It's too much.
I think there's a recency bias when you look at teams like Kansas City and you see them have Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and all the weapons there that they have. Building a new offensive line after watching their offensive line flounder in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. If you're a quarterback, you look at that and you say, why not me? Like, why don't you give me all these things? If you're a quarterback, you want to be the one your team builds around. You want to be favored. You want your team to give you all the weapons you can have for your success because the team's success is your success, which means the team's failure is pinned on your shoulders and can affect you financially, in the court of public opinion, what have you. Aaron Rodgers is not alone in being a bit spoiled as a quarterback and complaining for more. That said, he's one of the best quarterbacks ever to play the game. I think it was a mistake in the first place for the team to go with Jordan Love. They got themselves into this mess.
They did. But you got to remember back when they made the trade to get Jordan Love and made that selection, Aaron Rodgers coming off a pretty bad year. And a string of bad years. And so you don't know what you're going to get with Aaron Rodgers of the future. And maybe you do start have to planning for the future if Aaron Rodgers is not going to perform in that final year. And they were of the mindset that if Aaron Rodgers can't get it done, if he can't turn it around, then we are going to move on from Aaron Rodgers. We are going to take a different step. And I think Dan Graziano hits it on the head. Each of the recent three top receivers that Aaron Rodgers has had, they've all come in the second round. So it doesn't mean that the Packers aren't going to address the skill position the group in day two of the draft. They might be able to find a really good weapon for Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers, you talk about the envy of the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think Aaron Rodgers can legitimately sit there and say that he hasn't had the talent or the protection or the weaponry that that everybody else has had. He's had a top five offensive line his entire career. He's had great weapons. Now, of recent, do I think that they could improve and upgrade their receiver position? Yeah, I do think that they could to supplement what they're doing with Devontae Adams. They have Aaron Jones as well. But Aaron Rodgers has not been devoid of talent for the majority of his career.
Well, and it sure won't stop him from taking shots at other quarterbacks who talk about their own displeasure.
Absolutely hypocritical of Aaron Rodgers.
We are taking you around the diamond thanks to Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. The Mariners and Chris Flexen start a 6-game homestand tonight against the LA Angels. Pregame starts at 6 p.m. right here. First pitch at 7 p.m. on 710 ESPN Seattle. And that's Around the Diamond, brought to you by Shane Company, your friend in the jewelry business. Michael Bumpus joins us next.